What day is it?
Saturday, Friday. Hello. Friday. I'm even out of it.
Yeah, Friday. Saturday night's all right for fighting. It's not Friday. It's Friday, though. It's not Saturday. Mm-mm. What kind of songs do we have for Friday? Friday. I can't think of one, so I'll make one up.
There is one. There's a disco song.
Oh, well, that's not the same thing.
Aw, shut up.
Disco. I used to have that sticker on the back of the car. Help stamp out disco in our lifetime.
You did?
Yeah.
I love disco. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? You know, I loved it. I loved to dance. I loved it.
Nothing wrong with dancing, but disco sucked.
That's what people danced to, for God's sake, at the time.
Oh, I danced all kinds of stuff way back then, and it had nothing to do with
sure.
The Bee Gees.
Oh, well, I wasn't too...
They should have called them the Vee Gees.
The Vee Gees.
Short for vice grip, because that's the only tool I can think of to make their voices sound.
Oh, God.
Pretty little thing.
Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday. Pretty little thing, come and light my candle, because, Mama, I'm sure hard to handle. Yes, we are. I am. You are. She is. He is. They is. I, you, and he, we, you, and they. It is Friday evening for the second Trump's America edition of Political QRM. Buckle up.
Hi, everyone. This is Anne Marie. Want to say hello?
Oh, me, Lou.
Yeah, you.
Who are you talking to?
Hey, you. Well, you know, come on. Say hello.
Hello.
Let me tell you something. What a week it has been, folks, hasn't it?
Donald Trump has been president for 1 week.
1 week.
And 6.5 hours. And look, we've gotten more good stuff done.
God, the man is amazing. Ugh. Today, Mad Dog Mattis was sworn in.
Uh-huh. So ISIS is about to become was.
I love that. I love it. Yep. So many things have happened. He's really ticked off Nieto of Mexico. And to tell you the God's honest truth, I do not care.
Oh, I was going to say... You know what the thing is, though, is that whole exchange between Donald Trump and Nieto was awe-inspiring. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Oh.
He's a little... We heard his widow viewings.
Yeah.
And, of course, Vicente Fox didn't hesitate to make the occasional announcement, too.
He did? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
gosh. Oh, Vicente Fox, shut up.
Wait, as if we cared that much about Nieto's complaining, whining, and moaning. I care even less about Fox's.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that one. You know, the thing is that after Nieto canceled that meeting with him, the peso dropped in value.
And the dollar went
up. Yes. Yes, yes. But, you know, the thing that Donald Trump has said is that, you know, a lot of things have happened. The executive orders, you know, he had orders on border security and immigration, authorization of the border wall, stripping of federal grant money to sanctuary cities.
Yep.
He's hiring 5,000 more border patrols. He's getting rid of catch and release policies for illegals.
Oh, and what happened like 5 minutes later? Miami-Dade.
Yep.
Oh, well, you know, now that you mention it, we don't think it's such a good idea to remain a sanctuary city either.
Exactly. But, of course, we had Marty Walsh up here in Boston decide that he was going to open up City Hall for all the illegal immigrants. And even, he said, his own office. And it's like, yeah, okay, Marty, let's see if you really keep to that promise. Because I know you wouldn't dare let these people camp out in your office, for heaven's sake.
Bill de Blasio might, and he's another one railing against the machine, you know, and Rahm Emanuel, you know, they're both swearing that they're maintaining that people will always, the funniest part of it is where Rahm Emanuel says, you know, you'll always be safe in Chicago.
I know, it's amazing. But the American citizens in Chicago aren't safe. I mean, six right. people were shot at a memorial service for a person who had died.
Right.
It's like, come on,
Hello?
People. Something's wrong with this picture.
You can't make this stuff up.
I know. Isn't it amazing? My God. I mean, you can't. I mean,
it's not just him. It's not just him. Cook County is the same. The whole thing with saying the same thing. The governor won't do a doggone thing. And they see, they're standing there, and the president is saying, we'll send in the feds. And they're like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Yeah, he can.
Well, one, he can. Two, why would they want to have illegals there? But of course, now we know, you and I know, and people out there do know, why they would want illegals there. And it's because they help bolster the Democratic voting rolls.
I think, you know, we touched on this the other day about how we are likely as not going to see another exodus from Western Europe mm-hmm. Attempting to, you know, flood Ellis Island mm-hmm. for an analogy. But I think what we're going to start seeing is I think you're going to start seeing people saying, you know, to jobs that they've had, you know, especially jobs that they've had maybe a year, maybe two. They're not quite vested in the plan yet, et cetera. You know, they're going to be looking to move, you know, from whatever, I don't know, John Hancock or whatever that tall building is, and say, you know something, I want to, give me, I don't care if it's in, you know, West Deliverance, Georgia, get me out of Chicago.
Well,
you know, they don't, people are not going to want to be in Chicago when they, when people start saying, okay, Miami-Dade's no longer safe, you know, a couple of these other cities that have come online, and I don't remember which. I saw something go running past on a scroll, and I didn't wait for it to scroll by again. Other areas that are thinking that sanctuary may not be the best moniker they could have, you know, on the top of City Hall. When these other places start saying, okay, well, no, we're not going to keep sanctuary city status here, these people are all going to go somewhere else. And where is that somewhere else? Well, if you've got Rahm Emanuel swearing that Chicago will always be safe
That's
for
right.
them,
yeah.
you know, and de Blasio saying, you know, New York City will always be a safe haven for you. Well, Chicago, I don't know that much about. I've been there a few times and stuff, and we watched the news coming out of there.
Right.
But I can tell you this about New York City. The people of New York, the city of New York, are not going to handle this huge influx of people making the streets even worse after the last couple of years under de Blasio, where they've gotten as worse as they have, or as right. as more, you know, dangerous as they've been, you know, with quality of life issue crimes, mm-hmm. you know, and we turn around, we take that and we go north from there into, you know, property crime and into violent crime. The people in the city of New York are not going to stand for that.
I don't know, Lou. I mean, the people of New York have really taken a lot in the past decades and everything.
Yes, they have.
And they seem willing to. They really do, New York, for some ridiculous reason.
The picture of resilience, yes, indeed. But
no, I'm talking about the crap that de Blasio will put on them regarding illegals in their city and how bad it's going to be. I mean, you know, if they continue to have these people come in and stay a sanctuary city. I mean, it's really going to turn into an open cesspool there. It really is.
When HR managers start going into the operating officer's office for a conference room for, you know, a monthly, quarterly, what have you, and the report, the COO or whatever, CEO, whatever, gets a hold of these figures and says, wow, tardiness in your department has, you know, in these departments has gone up. absenteeism has increased, you know, twofold, threefold, fourfold. What's going on? Well, you know, in that one department, three people were mugged, two girls raped.
I think
the chief operating officer turned to the chief executive officer and say,
I don't know,
we got to do something here. That may involve something as simple as, you know, instead of having regular security guards, they may put armed security in. Maybe they'll put in secure buses or something for their employees or what have you.
It depends. I think we already have had an element in the New York City area. You know that as well as I do, for decades upon decades of illegal immigrants, and they've come from all different countries. But right now, what's coming up from the southern border and making its way up into the northern part of the country, a lot of them are very, very violent. And yes, that might make a difference as far as the crime and, you know, the quality of life in these cities, you know. So, but you have mayors who are willing, basically, to sacrifice their own citizens for some inane leftist theory and, you know. I cannot imagine why they're even doing this. Why? Just because they're lefties?
They're to bolster their machine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. And actually, you know, the illegal immigrants. And the thing is here, I have an article here from today's Washington Times, in which they, actually yesterday's Washington Times, it says, Trump argument bolstered. Clinton could have received 800,000 votes from non-citizens, study finds. It's based on national polling by a consortium of universities. 6.4% of the estimated 20 million adult non-citizens in the U.S. voted in November. Isn't that amazing? After the media constantly saying, oh, no, there's nothing, no voter fraud, no nothing like that, but look what happened.
Well, I remember reading one of the captions that went with that saying, it's a far cry from what, you know, from the figures Donald Trump has bandied about. And when you go, you know, for the 2 to 3 million mark, it is a far cry. But look, it's not like it doesn't happen.
But you know what? You have 800,000 there, all right? It could have. It could be more. They're not saying it's just 800,000, number one. Number two, you have all those people who went into the cemeteries, you know?
Yeah, on voter registration drives, yeah.
Yes. You know, so that's additional also. So you just, you know, when he says 2 million, 3 million, yeah, I think he's right in the ballpark. I really do.
Again, if it's 800,000, that's 800,000 and one too many.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That shouldn't be happening. Everybody should have just a voter ID.
I'm having a hard enough time. Before we even get into the things like the illegals, as far as I'm concerned, if you have been convicted of a violent felony, you forfeit your rights.
Yes.
Allowing them to, what are they going to do? Send absentee ballots now into the prisons, or does the prison count as their address?
I think that has happened in the past, I believe.
This is the stuff that, and look, who's right? If you take all those felons out of Virginia after what's his name gave them the right to cast their ballot again, how many of them you think voted for Trump?
Rhetorical question, right?
Oh, yeah. I think there might have been one. I mean, just if nothing
Maybe.
Else, if nothing else, there had to be at least one just so that nobody could say, well, 100% of them voted against. You know,
yeah.
There had to be at least one, even if they paid him to vote for Trump just so that they could say, well, not 100%.
What amazes me is that you have the media, the mainstream media, who sits there, David Muir, in front of Trump and basically expresses surprise that there may be that many people who voted illegally.
That wasn't surprise. That was terror.
Well, perhaps it was terror.
But
the thing is, it's like, you know, they feign surprise, okay? Mm-hmm. They feign surprise. Oh, my gosh, really? No. Oh, you know, there's really no proof. Yeah, right? Okay. But... You know, as you know, Goebbels said, you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes a truth.
Right.
And that's what they're hoping will happen with everything that the Democrats put out there, you know, including this challenge of voter fraud.
And they must absolutely, positively, wholeheartedly, hand over to heart, believe it. Because
they do.
Because, no, I'll tell you, and this goes back to something we were talking about the other day. With the fact that they, you know, brought Nancy Pelosi back.
Oh, my God. And she still, did you hear her? Oh, my God. Let's not
talk. And with
okay.
the fact that now, I guess, as of today, Hillary has said she's going to run in 2020.
You believe that?
Which.
Wait a minute. Do you also know that the Democratic Party is having training sessions on how to talk to the average American?
Are they?
Yes, they are.
Well, you
I
know
nearly
something?
Died. I forget the source of that. I'm sorry.
It'll be.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They have to on how to talk to the average American people. Those of you who are listening, do you understand this? Whereas a billionaire knew exactly how to talk to the working men and women of this country. Okay? Do you see the disconnect?
Yeah.
Do you see the disconnect between America itself and the Democratic Party, folks? Think about this.
They're still working on the divisive, identity politics.
They're still trying.
Oh, unite, 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 unite. No. Divide, 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 and give everybody the story they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, we covered an awful lot of that stuff the other day, but I still think that they are absolutely, I don't know if they're blind, deaf, dumb, stupid.
Who, the Democrats?
Yeah.
Okay, let's back up a bit here, because don't forget, the Democratic Party is not exactly your father's or grandfather's Democratic Party, okay?
Oh, it isn't even close.
It's dead. What it is now is the new American Communist Party. And communists or fascists or socialists believe in their heart of hearts and to the very core of their being that theirs is the right way.
Yep.
Okay? It is the right way. And they will do anything and everything to prove their own assertion correct. They will go to the ends of the earth to say, socialism, it is the right way. Communism, it is the right way.
This is what they're doing.
That's why they're persisting in this, Lou.
Yes, but as I've said so many times, you know, you can't make a full belly into a communist. And in a very short order.
That's true.
In very short order, a lot more bellies are going to be full. And I don't mean, you know, because of... we're going to take another 43 million Americans and put them on, you know, SNAP or TAMP or
Quick right.
or what have you. I mean, because people are going to be able to have, you know, things,
jobs.
You know, silly stuff in their lives like jobs.
Jobs.
You know, manufacturing jobs and service jobs and retail jobs and all kinds of jobs.
And they'll be able to grasp that part of the American dream in many cases that they
yes.
want. You know, small
yes.
businesses will be helped.
It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's
no,
not going to happen.
I'd
you know,
say, two and a half, 3 years. That's
I'd
what it
say
took.
We're going to start to see a difference sooner than that. I'd like to believe that by the end of his first year, when he gets to next year's, a year-ish
okay.
from now.
All right.
State of the Union address. He's going to turn around and say, excuse me. He's going to turn around and say, I told you. I warned you. I tipped you off. Here we are a year later. Here we are a year better.
I at first was going to take issue with you on that comment, but as you were speaking, I was going to bring up Ronald Reagan as an example and how long it took for his things to go in, you know, take effect. And it
right.
took basically about 2.5-3 years. Okay.
Yeah.
But even though Ronald Reagan basically, you know, he was a politician.
Yes, he was.
Donald Trump is not.
Nope.
He is a businessman, and he has You go from point A to point B in a direct line and do not get in his way. So, yes, I would not be a bit surprised, Lou, if we did see a significant improvement within 1 year. You're right.
Right, because, look, I can't overestimate the way I feel or overstate the way I feel about – here we are, as I said, 1 week and 6-7 hours.
I know.
You know, you turn around and you take all those guys down at that side of town with all those tattoos on their faces, arms, hands, legs, neck, whatever, and put them on a bus and dump them in Tijuana.
Yep.
You know, and if they come back through, just keep putting them back on the other side until finally they either get the message or you drive them a little further in and drop them off a little further, and then if they come towards the border again, shoot them!
Shoot them. Shoot them. I, you know, this is one thing, though. I'm surprised that Donald Trump did not say we are going to install troops at the border. I'm really surprised at that.
I'm not surprised because he's look, like you said, he's a businessman. You know, like take, for example, the whole we've had occasion to use an analogy of buying a home. All right.
Okay.
Recently, and you know, you put in an offer.
Okay.
And the people who are selling the home say, "Well, no, we said just to use, let's use round numbers, $100,000." And you put in an offer of 50. And they say, "Well, no, we want, you know, 95." And you go, "Okay, 60." And then they go, "You know, you know," and you find an agreement somewhere in the middle. So now he's saying, "Okay, we're taking away the sanctuary city status. We're going to round up the criminal illegals, you know, this, and we're going to build the wall, you know, and the whole, you know, we'll get into the Nieto thing again." But he's putting this forth. Now he's waiting for counteroffers. Miami-Dade said, "Okay, our counteroffer is, you're right, we're not going to act like that anymore." Rahm Emanuel and de Blasio, on the other hand, you know, and Hickenlooper from Colorado, that... You know, hit my entire state. Shut up. You know.
You know, Colorado used to be a nice state until all these people from California started moving in to escape California, and then they made it into another. Seriously, and then they made it into another California.
Although I understand the Calexit movement is really starting to steam up.
Actually, I have an article on that, and we'll discuss that in a bit.
Well, let's get to it. But here's the thing. He's going to do it a little at a time. He's got people saying, okay, we're going to start the wall. Now, I'm trying to remember which company it was. Oh, shoot. I know it's not Olympic Arms, because Olympic Arms is finally shuttering after 40 years. They were a large Washington State arms manufacturer, and Washington is just too hard to do business in. There's another one that offered one rifle for free to the United States of America for every tower along the wall.
Really? That's interesting.
And... yeah, but you remember my theory about the minefield. So,
yeah, exactly. Yes.
Starting with the wall. He's starting with the wall. He's starting with turning off the funding to the sanctuary cities, which I'm sorry, that should have, you know, that should have been enough to make their boots shake right off.
Yep.
You know, he started with all these things. So now he's waiting to see what the blowback is.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know,
but...
it's like I'm holding my cards and, you know, the ante was, you know, 2 cents, and then it's like, okay, I'll see your 2 cents, I'll raise you one. You know, I'll see your 1 cent, I'll raise you two. You know, back and forth on a poker table. And that's what he's doing. He's a businessman. He's negotiating.
That's true.
And boy, they're just not ready for a real live, honest-to-goodness negotiator to walk in the door, aren't they?
No, they are not. They're not. And that's the thing. He's catching them by surprise. Because I believe many of them thought that once he took the oath of office, that all of a sudden he was going to turn into the ultimate Washington insider. I honestly believe some of them thought that, oh, well, he'll become president and he'll recognize that things aren't done the way he wants.
He'll make his speech, and when we read him in on all this stuff, he'll calm down.
It's baloney. Again, they don't know Donald Trump. They don't.
Evidently.
No. I mean, just like, you know, and I'm glad that he's there. I'm over the moon, because many of us in this country who have always said, it's not that hard. Don't tell me it's that hard to do things or to get things accomplished. We're sick of it. We're sick of hearing, oh, it's so difficult. And Donald Trump just came out there and said, you're right, it's not difficult. And this is what's going to be done.
We have always said, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. And people say, it is, it is. It's not that hard if you go in with the mindset that I want to get something done.
That's right. Yes. Exactly.
And not only do I want it, but the people who elected me want me to get something done. We're not talking about some one fella from one district. We're not talking about some fella from another district. We're talking a man in the most powerful chair on the planet. And he walked right in and sat right down and started swinging a pen. Oh, Obama said, I got a pen and a phone. Yeah, well, I've got an erase the Constitution.
Yeah, I've got the Constitution, exactly. You know, did you see Sean Hannity had an interview with him last night, okay, and I watched it. And he brought him into the Oval Office, and he goes, and here's the desk. He used the same desk that Ronald Reagan did, and I believe also used by FDR. I believe it was the same desk. That's what he said. And but you took a look at the desk, and there were papers all over it. I mean, it was completely packed with papers.
Of course it was.
Yes.
He's a busy guy.
Yes, you know what they say. You know, cluttered desk is an indication of a, you know, not a cluttered mind, but of a go-getter and somebody who can accomplish things. So I saw that, and I actually was like, wow, that's great. I love it. You know, so he's realistic. He respects the office, okay? Most definitely. I mean, you know, he's not going to be putting his feet up on top of the table, on top of the desk. He's not. You can tell. But he's there to do a job, and he knows what he wants to get done. And it's just, it's so thrilling.
Better still, he knows what we want him.
That's true. Exactly.
Because he didn't say it was his moment. He said it's our moment.
That's true. Yes, that is true. And he's the man that meant it. Obviously. And I'll tell you, no matter where I listen, I mean, I listen to local radio stations. I listen to, Jeff Cooner at noon in Boston. I listen to Howie Carr at 3 o'clock, and they're all over the moon. I mean,
of course.
They all said, I still can't wipe the smile from my face.
Well, I saw snippets of Sean's interview, and I saw snippets of the other clown's
David
interview.
David Muir,
And stuff. And somehow or another, well, again, remember, Sean Hannity has known President Trump for a long time.
Exactly.
But when I watched him, you know, come on, he's respectful because he's no longer talking to his buddy Donald Trump from downtown.
He's talking
to the President of the United States. So obviously he's, you know, filled with the respect and all.
Thrilled I am? I still can't.
But I mean, you see these other people interview him, and they look in abject terror.
They do. They look in terror, and they're also, you could tell they're incredulous, that they cannot believe that they're not sitting there fawning all over Hillary Clinton.
Now, I know you are, we went into this a little bit the other day, you are a football-type person.
God, yeah.
And you know, Bill O'Reilly's going to have his interview during the Super Bowl.
Yes, right before.
And
he has done that in the past. He did it with Obama.
Yes, he has. Yeah. Yes, he has. He did it with Obama. But you know something? Bill O'Reilly might be a lot of things, but I don't think he's a softballer by any stretch of the imagination. If he's got something to ask the president, he's going to ask it.
Well, you know what? Everybody accused him of being a softballer during Obama, and sad to say, that's the way I felt also. Okay? I think he was under pressure to, you know, lob those softballs.
I think he was under pressure.
Yeah. But you know what? Trump isn't going to, you know, he's going to say, you know, bring it at me. Don't forget they're both New Yorkers.
Right. They're both New Yorkers.
They're born and raised, you know.
They're both New Yorkers. They're both no-nonsense guys. I don't believe for a second that President Trump sent the list through to Bill O'Reilly and said, here's what you can ask me and here's what you can't. I don't believe that.
Mm-mm.
And I don't believe it's going to be. I think we're going to be, especially, and this is the reason I brought it up, was the whole Obama interview at the other Super Bowl, because it did look lightweight. It did look airball, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see that, and I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters.
Mm-mm. No.
I think we're going to see a good, solid. It may not be high impact baseball, but it doesn't have to be.
It's right before the Super Bowl. A lot of people are concentrating more on, you know, whether or not their team's going to win or whether they want to see a good game.
Or get the cheese puffs out of the oven.
Exactly. You know, the pigs in a blanket. But anyway, I think a lot more people are going to be watching it because a lot of football fans did vote for Trump.
Well, don't forget. Mm-hmm. You know, you're either going to watch, you know, football or MMA, you know, because, you know, they'll make it St. Meryl Streep, you know.
That's true. Yeah. I'm one of those people, I guess, right? Well, guess what? Remember one of the playoff games beat the Golden Globes by like 2-1 as far as viewership is concerned. So Meryl Streep can go jump in a lake.
Well, I'm not I don't watch either.
The thing is that, look, I am not an MMA person, okay? However, if somebody wants to watch it, why not? It's out there.
Yeah.
Everybody has different likes and dislikes.
Years ago.
Here, go. Enjoy yourself. Who cares?
When I was still in the motorcycle. When I was still in the motorcycle industry, I had a couple of clients who came in for parts and service and customization and stuff like that that were in the very early angles of MMA. It wasn't called that. You know, Ultimate Fighter and things like that. And they were all, you know, most of them were people who had been either boxers or wrestlers or what have you. Great guys. Great guys to a fault. I mean, great guys to a man. Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Great guys. Great to talk to. Great to hear stories of the old days in wrestling when they were just coming up and stuff like that. It was fabulous to sit and you know, while their bike was being worked on, sit and drink beer with them. It was great. But while I used to watch Bruno Sammartino and Gorilla Monsoon and, you know, Pedro Morales and Andre the Giant and, you know, all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know, me and my dad, Channel 9, you know, watching wrestling, you know, I never really got into UFC, MMA or any other stuff. I don't care. If you do, you do. That's your business, not mine. You know, but I don't watch either of them.
Yeah, but
But I didn't watch Steel Magnolias either. You know, I mean, so you know, I did watch Sophie's Choice years ago. I did watch it, but
yeah. Funny thing is that I did like Meryl Streep, and you know, as an actress. But you know what? And I consider her to be a very fine actress. However, when you start saying this stuff, and this stuff hits to the heart of my home and the way I feel about things, then it's like, okay, lady, I have no use for you at all. You know, I am a football fan, okay?
Well,
how dare you denigrate, you know? I mean, I have more education than you do, honey. I do. And I've done more in my... Because you know something? You know, these stars, they sit there and they sit in interviews and say, this schedule was just so grueling. Oh, we were out, you know, we just had these 8-hour days. Oh.
And you worked for 6 days or 6 weeks and you got a movie produced and you made $37 million. You couldn't find anything. You could put me on a treadmill for 6 weeks in a row without even a drink of water for $37 million and I'd get it done.
You know, the thing is, have you people ever driven past a road crew when it's 95 degrees out and 95% humidity, and they had to do this for 8 hours a day? Do you know how hot that is?
We're 10 below.
Yes, on asphalt. You want to know? You know how tough that is? I swear to God, I drive past these people, and I either go, oh, my God. You know, I either want to buy them coffee or some, you know, ice.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, have you ever taken a look at our military in Afghanistan and, you know, it's just the crap that they have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, spend a week there. Then you can go and tell me how grueling your shooting schedule was.
Oh, I'm trying to remember who it was. It was either one of our SEALs or one of our Rangers. Somebody said something about, you know, all these jokers, It's like, you play a soldier in Afghanistan or something.
Yes,
you know, isn't that cute? You know, it's
like he has this name that. Oh man!
It's like, cut! I need a drink of water. Bring me my Perrier.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. His name is Tonto. Wait a minute.
Was it Tonto? No.
Yes, it was.
Was it Tonto?
What's his name? What is it? Peronto?
I'm racking my brain
on this, but I know it was him, but I can't remember his name in particular. Hang on. Let's see if I can find him. Tonto Peronto. Chris Tonto Peronto. Yes. Yes.
I was looking for Chris.
That was him. It was him.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you played one on TV. Isn't that cute? You know,
yeah, that's basically what he said.
You know, strap that gear on, grab a half a dozen live grenades, a belt of ammunition, and go out and do the job, and then we'll talk. You know,
yes, same thing.
Look, it's the same thing with the guys who play these ultra bad, you know, some embittered old grizzled detective that's like, they call him and he's got, you know, strikes against him in his, dossier for, you know, 20 years on, you know, and they go in there and it's like, yeah, okay, fine. You know, do you ever walk a beat? No. Shut up.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. I know. But, you know, so, I don't know.
But that's it, though. It's like, as a professional disc jockey, mm-hmm. you know, for many, many years, you know, playing everything from weddings to funerals and everywhere in between.
You play funerals?
You know, yeah. I played
what sort of music
bachelor party.
Wait a minute. Back up here. Why would a disc jockey be at a funeral?
Well, because not everybody sits around crying and, you know, stuff like that. People have wakes that are, you know, celebrations of life.
I completely agree with that. And that's the way I would like my final tribute, you know, to be.
Well,
a
if
nice
that's
big
the case,
fat
let
party.
Me know.
However,
I'll spin it your way for free. All right, you know.
You're under the assumption I'm going to drop before you, sweetie. We don't know that.
It could happen. You know, it could happen.
It could happen. No, but that's true. It could.
No, but I'm saying, you know, everywhere from, you know, cradle, you know, what do they call it, womb to tomb. I've played every kind of, you know, circle of life party you can name. Bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, divorce parties. I've played all kinds. You know, I mean, really, and I mean, how many times I've had to, you know, pull out, you know, Madonna songs. And,
oh God! Did you hear about the Texas station that refuses to play Madonna songs now?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forget. They said, you know, it's like this.
Well, you know, if we had a cutout,
they said, you know, until she shows more respect for the United States, we're not playing our songs.
Well, you know, you can't, because if you cut out every one of these Bolshevik weenies, you know, from your playlist, you're down to, like, what, Ray Conniff? You know, it's like...
True, but you know what? She's been so damn outspoken. The fact that she was going to blow up the White House. Oh,
you
know, for
I mean,
God's sake.
Bob Dylan made that song about Hurricane Carter.
I know. Well, Bob Dylan's an idiot. And most of them are idiots. I'm sorry.
Bruce Springsteen made that one about Amad Diallo. The 41 shots or whatever
He's
it was.
He's another one. God in heaven.
You know, I mean, but that's
but
it.
You know
if
what?
You
that's the thing.
Out, you know, if you want to cut them all out, you're left with Ray Conniff and 101 Strings. You know, I mean, it's like.
Oh, God, we're getting off balance here, folks,
you know,
aren't we?
Oh,
yeah,
Susie,
we got so much to do here. We have so much to do. So much to do.
You know, when it comes right down to it, you talk about people like Meryl Streep, Madonna, Springsteen, and Dylan. All of these people, they actually. Why? This is the part that gets me.
What?
What is their motivation?
They think that they're relevant.
But they not just that they think that they're relevant, but even if they sit there and say, "Well, I'm not really relevant. I'm just a pop star." You know, what is their motivation? All of these people we just discussed are in the top. Then they're not in the 1%. They're in a 0.5% or a 0.25%.
Yeah,
they're
you're right
all
on that.
Filthy, fabulously, screamingly wealthy, rich.
That's true.
What is their motivation? You know, if I was there and somebody came to me and said, "Well, we want you to speak to our, our socialist, democratic, communist, left-wing media people. Why? Well, it's the right thing to do. What are you talking about? I'm worth $35 million.
No, but you see, that's the thing. They think that because people, they have fans who like them for whatever they produce, music or whatever, that carries over into these people's personal lives where they're going to just follow them and listen and obey anything they say. That's how narcissistic these people are.
Well, there was that one girl a few years back. She made that song about all I want to do is have some fun. Sheryl Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And she appeared, and I don't remember who she was with. There was another woman that they went to a congressional hearing and said that what we should do to save the planet is everyone use only four sheets of toilet paper per day.
Yeah, I know. How stupid. Gee, where is Sheryl Crow now, huh?
I have no idea.
And
furthermore, Scarlett, you know, but, you know, look, but if I go, I don't spin anymore. I don't. But if I did, and somebody said, hey, do you have that song? All I want to do is, yeah, sure. I throw it in a hole, punch it up, you know, cue it up, spin it up, and go. You know, because why? Because if I sat there and
that's what you're being played for, right?
Paid for, right. Yeah, right. But that's it. Exactly. That's it. I understand that difference. That's
but you don't understand the difference.
For.
Yes. They don't.
You know, that's why I'm getting paid. If somebody came up and said, I want to hear that song by Bruce Springsteen, by Bob Dylan. Yeah, sure. You know, Madonna.
You know exactly why you're standing there behind that turntable, okay? You're being paid to bring joy and a good time to people out there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Whether I'm playing Madonna or Donandella, either way,
exactly.
If I'm making people dance, exactly. I'm having a nice time. They're paying me to be here.
But they think that it's more. They think because we pay to see them in a concert or in the movies that...
Oh, what? But didn't she make her first couple of million dollars wearing a wedding dress with a belt buckle that said boy toy?
I don't remember.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
Because I spun records through that time frame.
Okay.
Yeah, boy toy. I remember that. Don't objectify me as a sexual object. I am woman, hear me roar. Yeah, when you sat there with those Dixie cups, the old-fashioned soda fountain Dixie cups shaped like a brassiere, And a boy toy belt buckle don't objectify you. You know, the only thing I objectify you for is a home. You know,
yeah. and objectification. Yes. You have, by the way, you had obviously we had the Women's March last week, but this week we had the March for Life.
Ah, yes, the March for Life.
And it was attended, actually, by the Vice President and Mrs. Pence. And also Kellyanne Conway went and spoke.
Kellyanne went, yes.
And Donald Trump tweeted that he supports their efforts.
Yep.
Which is good. And I would love to take a look at the mall after these people left and see how much of a trash they left as opposed to the women's march.
I've had this problem in the past, and I want to say that I would be willing to bet somebody at least a beer over the fact that the mess won't be as well the mess won't be as big because there won't be as many people.
That's baloney.
Well, let's just do it on a square footage basis then.
Yeah.
You know, don't go by tonnage, obviously, you know, because that's fine.
Right.
Well, let's just say every square foot, let's measure it. Take the center of a garbage can and measure out, you know, a 4-foot radius, a 5-foot radius, a 6-foot radius. You know, just let's measure it up and add it up and divide by and the square and the hypotenuse and stuff, you know, and find out how many, you know, how many Starbucks cups did or did not land where they belong.
That's right. You also have to take a look at this march is that it was very respectful. You didn't find them cursing their heads off.
No, they weren't carrying signs that said things I wouldn't repeat in front of me saying it, mother.
Man. You know. Or wearing fake vaginas around the head. Oh my God. You know, I still can't get that picture out of my mind. It's driving me nuts. My God.
There ain't that much bleach in the world, right?
Oh man, I tell you, it's like, people, are you sick? Really? Seriously? Come on. Grow up. Grow up, women.
Well, this all goes to the whole thing that it had less to do with women than it did to have with liberal agendist issues.
And also Muslim agenda issues.
Of course. Yes. But I can't. And if you went
actually,
on...
I got the name wrong last time. It's Linda Sarsour.
Sarsour, yeah.
So I said Sansour last time. So that is a correction. But she is, you know, she's one hell of a... she's a trip, that one. She really is. Yeah. And plus, did you also see the video of the Muslim women who had... flags made into hijabs.
Into hijabs.
Head. Yeah. And they also put it on other women, too. And it's just like, hey, I have to say, idiots, do you know it's against the code?
The flag code? Yep,
for God's sake. Do you understand that? Oh, no, obviously you don't. But I can bet you 2-1 that these Muslimas did.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew exactly what they were doing, and they counted on your stupidity.
Yep, they were probably briefed
completely. Uh-huh. And say, hey, you know what? This is desecration of the American flag.
That's right. And I think the fact that it goes to
driving me nuts, you know,
being run by I haven't seen any interviews or anything yet. I haven't. I mean, I saw some pieces of Mike Pence and stuff today, you know, Karen and stuff. I saw pieces of it. But I did not see any of the interviews yet. I'm waiting to see Waters, you know, or Mark Dice or somebody, whoever. I don't care.
Right.
You know, walk up and ask these women. I will be willing to bet that these women, if they any woman along the line, any just the closest one, just grab the first one closest to you and stick a microphone in their face and tell us why you're here. I'd be willing to bet in no uncertain terms that, yes, she will be able to tell you why she's there. How many? And
that's,
I mean,
right.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was Fox. It didn't matter if it was CNN. It didn't matter if it was Waters. It didn't matter if it was... It didn't matter who it was or what network they were from or what paper they were from or anything. When they walked up to these people at the quote-unquote Women's March...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They never could say why they were there.
Yep. Nope. They couldn't.
Oh, because of misogyny. Oh, because of rights. Oh, because, well, which rights? Well, rights. Women's rights. Which women's rights? No, women's rights. And then they turn around and walk off. Or
they give
Trump
the finger.
Trump's a racist. Trump's a...
Do you know some of them actually said that he was an anti-Semite?
I love that. I love that. You know, nobody, I mean, I don't know if they've got something on him that I don't know about, and it's entirely possible.
No.
The man is 70 years old, all right? So I can't speak to what he has and hasn't said in 70 years, okay? I mean, we heard the whole thing about grab the women, right? Okay, fine. So I don't know what he has said or has not said in the past. But we already know that the loser of the 2016 campaign...
Yes...
has made insanely vitriolic remarks about Jews, about Israel, about Zion.
Yep.
And we know that the man who just left 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has said some terrible things and led some terrible policies and presidents as it pertains to. You can't turn to me, and someone did turn to myself and my beautiful bride, and say, oh, you don't understand, our family is Jewish.
What about it?
And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, are you counting on the fact that you're talking to a second grader?
Wait a minute.
Are you counting on the fact that you're talking to someone blind, deaf, dumb, and probably of a minimalist IQ?
So what did they mean by that?
Oh, we could not believe that, you know, we were Trump supporters because... You know, oh, we're, you know, we're our household, our family and household are Jewish.
Wait a minute. Did they pay attention to Obama over the past 8 years?
Evidently not. And we're Hillary. And I'm like, I mean, wait.
Do they remember when Obama just completely disrespected Netanyahu and said, you know, I'm going to go have dinner now. You guys work it out.
Oh, they were all, you know, oh, yeah. But Netanyahu said, oh, you know, hey, shut up and sit down. We're waiting for Donald Trump to be sworn in. You know,
no, but it's just like, now this was years ago. I mean,
I know that. You know,
and the man has, do they understand? Are they? I have to say this. Are they Meshuggahna?
I think they might be.
Oh, people, please do your homework.
I mean, you know, look, if you're going to tell me all about being Jewish and how that impacted your vote, I got news for you. When Donald Trump raised his right hand, or scratch that, back on November 8th, late at night, when the results were coming in and he was declared the President of the United States, every Zionist Jew that I know should have been on their knees, laws him gang. You know, I mean, that's it. You know,
I know. But
I'll tell you something. I wouldn't be surprised if Bibi did the exact same thing.
They were very happy. Israelis were very happy. It's the American. It's the American Jews who weren't. And it's like people, come on.
Hey, look, you know, it's like
you have.
You know,
wait a minute. You know what? In France, you have a whole bunch of French Jews who are leaving and they're going to live in Israel now because everything has gotten so horrible there for them. It's become one big anti-Semitic country again.
I don't have the numbers just yet, but I'll be willing to bet that very soon, especially since the fact that the quote-unquote extreme vetting is now going to take place, the visas have been put on hold. You know, so people that are everywhere are not going to be able to get here that they were counting. Okay, we go here, we stay there for 6 months, and we go here, we stay there for a year, we go here, we stay here for 6 months, and then off to the United States we go. Well, now that pipeline is clogged.
Well, no. He said, actually, one thing that Donald Trump did say is that Christians, I know the Jews, you know, aren't involved in this, but the Christians who have been tortured or whatever, or you know, assaulted, but they are going to be
let in.
They're going to be given priority.
Of course.
So yeah, and it's like exactly that's the way it should be, folks.
No, because you know something, I got news for you. You know, if ISIS or whatever, Hamas or Hezbollah or whatever is going through your neighborhood, and you know, and you feel as a Muslim set upon, you know, you could go anywhere else in your own country, and who cares? A mud hut is a mud hut is a mud hut. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you're a Christian, you don't get that option. They're going to beat you and torture you and kill you and soak you in gasoline. And,
yes.
And
they have done in quite number.
So if you've got to decide who is really being impinged upon by these policies of the Islamic terrorists, mm-hmm. I think they probably look for the Christians first.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So, you know, let's make this perfectly clear. You got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, what do you got? You got nothing. So now this pipeline, as I said, is being plugged by these people who can't move on through the pipeline. And the Jews, I think everywhere that there are, you know, I mean, you're going to start, I think Bibi better, you know, be ready, because they're going to start coming in from every Western country.
Mm-hmm. I think so, especially from Germany, too, because
Germany,
anti-Semitic attacks.
Germany, the Low Countries, Scandinavia, England, France, Spain.
Some of the stuff that's been going on in all of Europe has been absolutely horrifying, not just to Jews, but just, you know, just everybody. You know, I don't know what their religion is, but, you know, it's just like the rapes and the everything. It's just overwhelming, you know, murders.
I
just saw a video today in Germany. A bunch of Muslims just got in the middle of the street, middle of a big downtown street, large intersection, and they basically stopped the cars and they started shooting in the air. And my question was, where the hell did they get the guns?
Their mosque.
There you go.
They've raided these
mosques. Because German people can't. German people won't have these guns.
Including here in America. It gets suppressed by the mainstream media, but mosques have been raided here with arms caches in their basements. We were talking a moment about that Sarsour woman.
Yeah.
Did you see what she put? She put out a tweet saying, Ayaan Hirsi Ali and Brigitte Gabriel. And I'm going to tell you what it said, but I'm not going to say it's a direct quote because I don't have it in front of me. I wish I could just take away their vaginas. They don't believe deserve to be women.
Oh, really?
She said that, you know, tweeting from the...
And she's a woman? I mean, she is part of a cult.
Ayaan Hirsi Ali has suffered FGM.
Yeah, I know that. That's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that this woman, Sarsour, is part of a cult in which misogyny is at the top of the list of requirements in order to be a good Muslim. You have to hate women.
Right.
It's just like, you know, it's amazing. I find that these women, these Muslim women, they marched in this women's march supposedly for women's rights, yet there are no women's rights in Islam.
Where did it go? Where did it go? No, here's the thing. Where's the outrage?
There was no outrage.
There was no outrage at this international march for women. There was no outrage about these things.
No, of course not. They played right into the hands of these Muslim women. Because, like I said, Linda Sarsour, this was a recruiting tool. As I said last week, it was a recruiting tool.
Well, when I saw those women marching...
We're going to wrap this one up. We got to go on to other things, okay?
Okay. When I saw these women marching,
mm-hmm.
and hat tip to Prison Planet for this, because he actually showed the clip mm-hmm. of the speakers at whichever town it was at, saying... You know, Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then a woman in the crowd is smiling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a perfectly, absolutely porcelain white woman sitting there, and she smiles when she hears the Allahu Akbar. You can't be. Mm-hmm. Didn't we used to have places we used to keep people like that?
Yeah, I know. You mean insane asylums?
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
Yep.
You know, well, thank you, Geraldo. You got them all closed down. Now we got to be suffering with these people.
Well, Willowbrook. Remember Willowbrook?
I remember that. Was Geraldo's first. That's what got him on the map.
Back that's
when
right.
Still Jerry Rivers, you know
that's
what I mean?
That's right. No, he was Geraldo then. He was Geraldo. He was always Geraldo.
Well, no, there was a time when he was Jerry Rivers. But
I did not know that.
It
really?
Was before that, yes. It was
many moons.
It was way before Willowbrook. It was way before Al Capone's.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, please. Let's not even go there. There's nothing in it.
No, there was an old beer bottle or something in there.
No, seriously? Really?
No, there was something in there. Speaking of Al Capone, quick plug. A very good friend of mine.
Plug for Al Capone?
Did a thing on Al Capone, and she was only in the States for a thing with her publisher. She's got a new book coming out, and
cool.
She was in Chicago, where uh-huh. her publisher is from, and she went to Lawndale or whatever it's called cemetery, and it stood in front of Al Capone's grave. So she did a YouTube. She's a YouTube content provider, and she did this thing on Scarface,
mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those things. It's called Under the Knife. Find it on YouTube. Anyway, mm-hmm. Dr. Lindsay Fitzsimmons.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Scratch that. I have two doctor friends. Fitzharris. Lindsay is Fitzharris. I'm sorry. Anyhow, go ahead. Move it along. What's his name used to say now for something completely different?
Really different. You had mentioned earlier about California.
The Calexit.
Yeah.
I guess that'd be called Kalehi.
Kalehi. Yep. Officials have announced a proposal that would establish California as a separate nation. It was actually submitted to the Secretary of State's office on Thursday.
Oh, boy.
And it said that a recent poll found that 1 in 3 California residents would support a possible secession from the U.S. due to their opposition to President Trump. Are you kidding me? Fine.
I think we should go to the Canadian border by Washington State.
Yeah.
Start the wall there and come straight south.
Come straight down. I agree. I agree.
Get to the Rio Grande and go to the east.
Well, you know what? You know, I've been looking at different comments about this, and people said, where would we get all our fruits and vegetables from? I'm like, hello? Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi.
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
We're gonna get tomatoes. New Jersey.
I mean, come on, folks. Just because.
Interesting little story. My dad went out to visit my brother in Arizona. Mm-hmm. When my brother moved to Scottsdale, mm-hmm. it was where his house was being built. It was 40 minutes to the 40 minutes out into the desert.
Yeah.
And now today, here it is. I don't remember how many years later it is. The desert is an hour away. You know, that's the kind of sprawl Scottsdale has had.
Oh, my God.
But they had artichoke farms.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of artichokes. And when they went to the food market to get some artichokes, they were $2 a piece. And my father said, they grow 12 miles from here.
Oh, my God. Really? That much? Holy crap.
Well, because old guineas from Jersey, you know, first of all, we all grew our own. I'm sorry, did I use the G word?
Yeah.
We all grew our own tomatoes.
Get over it.
We all grew our own tomatoes. So, but when we did have to go and buy tomatoes, we went first things first. We went to the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you needed a couple of boxes of tomatoes. You went down to the market. If you needed one tomato, oh my God, Vito, I need a tomato. Okay, I get on the way home. You know, there was no such thing as that tomato's $2. They grew down the street. You mm-hmm. know, you'd probably stop at your neighbor and get one for nothing. To have them grow 12 miles away and they were expensive. Made my father absolutely livid.
Well, but I have to agree with the man.
But we have places in the country to grow these things.
Yeah.
Artichokes. We have places in the country to grow everything. You name it. We don't need necessarily California.
No. See, the thing is also is that, if they want to become their own separate nation, they're going to have to do trade deals with us, you know?
Oh,
and
here it comes.
And so what sort of trade?
What's it worth to you?
I mean, exactly. It's like, are you kidding me? And then they're going to, I'll tell you, you know what? Within California, they do this. Within 10 years, they're going to be a third world country.
They're a third world country now?
Yeah, they are, but they're going to be even more of a... Because Northern California will be gone.
You take the $150 billion worth of money the federal government sends in their way, and they'll be a third world nation in 15 minutes.
It's amazing.
I feel terrible because I have a friend of mine that I've known for probably 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a civil servant in California. And she's like within, I don't know, days, months, weeks of retirement.
And what is she going to do afterwards?
Well, she expected, you know, to move back to the Garden State. You know, get out of the cereal state and into the Garden State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New Jersey's the Garden State. You know, and I'm not just talking about power lines. You know, there was a time.
Yes, there was.
You know, anywhere more recently than, say, 15, 20 years ago, if you ever opened a can of Campbell's tomato soup,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you were eating Jersey tomatoes.
That's true.
Period. Because Campbell's owned.
What about Progresso,
you know? Right? Mm-hmm. Cento tomatoes, mm-hmm. if you make your own gravy like I do, Cento brand tomatoes are Jersey. Or if they're not imported, mm-hmm. they're Jersey. All these things.
You know, I remembered after I had moved, after college, I moved down to Maryland. And I swear, they had the lousiest fruit down there. And I kept, during one summer, I kept craving New Jersey peaches.
Oh, peaches.
Oh, my God. I mean, seriously, folks, I know Georgia is supposed to be the peach state, and they're supposed to have fantastic peaches. But if you have not had a peach from a farm stand in New Jersey, you haven't lived.
When the Trader Joe's opened up here in Portland, mm-hmm. we went there. It was like it wasn't the first day, but it was like within the first couple of weeks.
Right.
And they had baskets of peaches, and it said imported from New Jersey.
Imported?
And I hadn't had a peach worth throwing the seed to a squirrel in like 10 years. You know, but I finally had a peach. I was a peach for if anybody cares. Is my favorite fruit on the planet, bar none.
Oh, I'll tell you, they're big, too. They're big, yeah, and they're juicy. And you know, the thing is, I used to have friends whose family used to grow the peaches in their backyard, too. You know?
We had a peach tree.
Wonderful.
Yeah, my grandmother had a peach tree.
I tell you the truth. Okay, I'm getting off track here.
You know what it says? It's a softball. How do we always think about food?
I don't know. We're Italian. We always think about food. Do you know, I have to say this. You know what my father used to do is take the peaches. I'm my grandmother and everybody else, but take the peaches and you put them in the wine.
Put them in the wine.
And you let them sit. Oh, wow. Nice.
You put them in the wine and
nice,
you let them
sit. Nice deep red wine. You know,
I used to just eat the peaches. I didn't even want the wine. I wanted.
Yeah, I know. That's what people used to do. Some people used to have the wine. Some people used to eat the peaches. Why are we doing this? I'm going nuts again, Lou. I'm starting to.
Well, here's the thing that really bugs me the most, Evique.
What?
You know, people say, "Oh, well, you know, California is where figs come from." I got news for you. The best figs I ever ate came out of my yard.
Yeah, well, you know what, too? You know, you can get them. You can get them from, you know, the Middle East. You can get them. Come on, stop.
I'm telling you something. Up here,
every year, they
come into season.
Egypt.
And they have them in Hannaford Brothers, and I don't know where they come from because they have them in Hannaford Brothers and
Shorts. Oh, the figs? Fresh figs.
And they come in these little extruded plastic crates and yep, they're stacked up, ding, 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 yep, ding, like 2 dozen or something per tray, and there's like 4 trays in a case or whatever. And they're not a bad size, you know, golf ball, a little smaller. And they want $4 a piece for them.
I know. You look
and
at
I said
them
to the guy, I said, how can you possibly justify $4 a piece?
I know.
He says, that's what they tell us to charge. I said, that's what they tell you to charge. I said, you realize they're for $4 a piece, you're going to sell 5.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to throw the rest in the dumpster.
I know.
Wouldn't
that's
it make
true.
Sense to charge $2 a piece and sell out? You know, but no, they can't do that. So I'm looking forward to. We're researching the option of actually growing figs in pots.
Mm. Oh, you know, I have seen that. I have seen different companies that do sell those. And you can do them in pots, and then you have to bring them in, obviously. Since they are a warmer climate fruit.
And
but,
besides,
oh, man.
The leaves come in handy when you get out of the shower. So
seriously, I mean, I love... Oh, figs. Oh, man. See,
figs,
you and I, because we're Italian, okay, folks, and seriously...
In case they hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I know. But no, what I'm saying is because of our ethnic heritage, we were raised with different types of food. Even though we were born and raised in America than the regular Americans, okay? I mean, we grew up eating, you know, different types of olives.
Olives.
Artichokes.
Figs.
Figs. Dates.
Wine, dates,
different that you know everything like that.
Pomegranates.
You know, we just and all the different like the mortadella, the different types of.
I don't have an accent.
Of course not.
Well,
there you go. Well,
do we have our culture? Do we have our heritage? Do we understand and live by and remember and do we pass this on? I had an argument with my cousin. Because his son got married, and good kid, great kid, excellent kid, married a girl, beautiful girl, wonderful girl, loves him to death and vice versa, absolutely. But he went and taught the Mediterranean girl how to make a sausage.
Okay.
No. You teach your son. You don't teach a Mediterranean girl how to make the family recipe for a sausage.
Taught his wife. Okay. Yeah, I know. You know, even in Polish families, the kielbasa is always made by the men in the family.
Right. And the pierogies are made by the women.
That's right.
And in my house, as I was a kid, my nona,
We made the ravioli.
The gnocchi di patate, the gabbadil, you know, all that stuff.
Stop!
You
know, I'm getting hungry.
But I'm saying,
oh,
this is
man.
It. And the men did that, and the men, you know, the women stomped the grapes, and the men put it in the barrels, or they squoze it through the press, and do we understand our culture? Do we understand our heritage? Do we understand what we need to pass on to the youths of America?
I know, but we got off track again. Where were we,
but I know that is part of the track.
Okay, what's part of the track, Lou?
Part of the track is the fact that we assimilated. hold our culture and our heritage as 100% valuable, but yet we still are Americans to 100% and more.
Okay, yeah, we kind of jumped over something here, folks. What we were going to do was talk about the illegal immigration stuff.
Until you started talking about food. And
until I started talking about food, and all bets were off as far as Lou and I were concerned, because we got off track here.
Standing there stirring the macaroni, stirring the gravy with the wooden spoon of Ichinomari.
Oh, God, here we go again.
Wait, what? When people say, oh, you might want to... Somebody said something about garlic recently.
Okay, what about it? It's good for you.
And it was the only reason to use...
I love garlic.
The only reason to use one clove of garlic is when two cloves might be too much.
Let me guess, they weren't Italian.
I was like, wait a minute. Two cloves might be too much. Cloves, not heads. Cloves. I mean, who are you going to scare? With two cloves. A spoon of cough medicine or something? Oh, you might only want to use one. Two cloves might be too much. That's like, oh, I put garlic in it. You did.
Really?
I put two cloves of garlic in where? You know, you like I said, who are you going to scare with two cloves of garlic? Forget it. All right, never mind. I'll shut up now. I'm done. I remember Potter, Mr. Potter. You know, you're just a fly spider, a miserable little spider or whatever. Garlic eaters. You know, you remember that from It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, yeah, from It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. Yeah, I'm always like, talking about the Italian family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and your problem is? Yeah, no. Illegal immigration. This is what he's doing. 5,000 more Border Patrol officers, okay? Getting rid of catch and release policies for illegal immigrants. A lot of people are really upset over that. Let them be.
Catch and release is fine if we release them on that side of the border.
Exactly. So, okay, I know we already spoke a little bit about this, okay, in the beginning.
Would you get visited by a spirit?
Something's going on here in the house, guys. And my cat, it just caught my cat's eye. And I have no idea. Oh, please, dear God, don't let it be. This is New England, folks.
Yeah, we have issues the rest of the country doesn't face.
Yeah, unfortunately. And my cat is going nuts. But I'll...
Well, you better set some more.
Lou?
What the hell's going on here?
Well, what happened was I kept hearing something in the dining room, right? And I'm going, what the heck is this? And I'm thinking my humidifier is going nuts. You know, I probably didn't, you know, put enough water in it or something. So I'm looking. And all of a sudden my cat comes over here and comes in here. And I'm like, what is he doing? And I'm looking. And something is peeking its nose out or something in the wall, and I have no idea, and I think it's a mouse. And I just mentioned to my contractor today that we were so lucky we didn't get a mouse. Okay, what did I do? 120. Okay, let me get back to this. So
he's gotten rid of catch and release. We're working on Sanctuary City issues.
Also, you know what? Going back to also what he has done as far as executive orders, he has revived the Keystone Pipeline, the Dakota Access Pipelines. Now, right. You had mentioned the other day, I was talking to you off the air, and you had mentioned something about the pipelines. And there are Native American tribes that are protesting this.
Right.
And they're saying that it's going to interfere with...
No, they're concerned with what it will do to their drinking water.
Okay, so the drinking water, but I thought it wasn't near.
It's not.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the issue is that they're concerned with it, even though it's miles from their drinking water supply.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to run alongside parallel to two other pipelines that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
And this one exceeds the safety levels of those two by 300% or some such thing. And it has already been offered and arranged for to move their water supply system to a different wellhead.
Okay.
It, by the way, it does not cross, the pipeline itself does not at any point cross Standing Rock Sioux tribal lands.
So what's the, so their main thing is the water?
Yeah.
Or and what I'm what I have to ask is the news media then saying they're adding on the thing about the sacred lands?
The news media must be because it doesn't go anywhere near their sacred lands.
Okay. Yeah, so
it does not cross Standing Rock Sioux property at any point, and if there is some part of the land that it does cross that is sacred, it's why didn't they say anything about it for the other two pipelines that are already there? Because it parallels them 100% of the way down. You know, once it gets past a certain headway, hub head up north of there by I don't know 500 miles or some such thing. And it is, I don't remember the exact number, but thousands and thousands and thousands of times safer than transportation by rail car.
Gee, that's going to hurt Warren Buffett.
Well, wait. Here's the part. The part is that they transport it by rail car, which is thousands of percent times less safe than transporting it by pipeline.
That's right.
And thousands and thousands and thousands of these rail cars do indeed cross Standing Rock Sioux.
Oh my God! Lands. Really? I did not know that.
Yes, they travel right across their lands, and they don't have any problem with that. Even though it's thousands of times less safe than using a pipeline is. I saw an interesting graphic that said, "Wait, I'm so confused. Which pipeline is it that's going to endanger the water supply?" And it showed a map of CONUS. Mm-hmm. You know, not you know Alaska or Hawaii, just CONUS.
Right.
And there's, it's like, find the part of the country where there's no pipelines. It's like everywhere. Like, spider web. Yeah. And, yes, sometimes you get a leak. I mean, I remember watching a TV show years ago, not too many years ago, but years ago. It was called World's Toughest Fixes. And it was this young guy, goofy looking, but genius. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember, Sean Riley. Mm-hmm. And I'm a rigger by trade, but I like doing big jobs, heavy jobs. And he does all these things like replace an engine in a cruise ship, you know, replace a turbine in a nuclear facility. You know, all these things. These huge, heavy, monstrous jobs that are high-tech jobs. But one of the things he did was work on replacing a valve in the Alaska pipeline.
Oh, wow.
And they had X number of, to over-dramatize, X number of minutes to do it. Mm-hmm. From the time the horn sounded go to the time it sounded stop, they had X number. I mean, it was days. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
They had X number of minutes to do it because they had to not interrupt the flow. Mm-hmm. You know, all this
stuff. Oh, okay.
And they had to replace this valve in a 40-inch pipeline.
Oh, my God.
And 90% of the prep, the job, the cleanup, and everything else had more to do with if they had dropped an eyedropper full of oil than actually changing this 12-ton valve.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they
that's why he wants to cut down
people
the regulations. That's what
right.
It's nothing.
And no, look, because here's the thing. People paint, you evil Republican conservatives, you want to poison the air and the water and the land, and you want to throw grandma off a cliff and put grandpa on an ice floe. And, you know, it says, no, we still have to breathe.
That's true. Yeah, they seem to think, or they want to put out the idea that every single Republican or conservative or hardworking American has a hermetically sealed bubble that we walk around in and nothing can ever touch us or harm us.
And we don't need any other air. We're self-contained and we don't need any other water. We're self-contained.
I know.
You know, and we don't care if our grandmother is pushed off a cliff in her wheelchair
it's
or
ridiculous.
Grandpa is out on an
it's
ice
ridiculous.
Fall.
Yeah.
You know,
it
but they ridiculous. But they have no problem in putting all these regulations in place and making the national debt such as my great great grandchildren will still be paying off the principal, let alone the interest on it.
Yeah, that's why he said, you know, all the agencies have to cut down on regulations. You know,
when
he wants
I originally
to get rid of 75% of them.
what I originally heard was no regulation will be passed without two being taken off.
That yes, I heard that also.
I heard that, remember?
Yeah.
But now he had that meeting with the union bosses and the corporate bosses and stuff the other day and said, we're going to reduce regulations by 75%, maybe more.
Wow. Now, I'll tell you, that was a big success.
Well, here's the environmental impact of that. What's going to happen with all those trees that aren't going to have to be cut down to make the paper to print those government printing office documents on?
Excellent point.
Those forests are going to grow out of control. There won't be any forest management.
Yeah. I know.
You know, how many different ways? You know, this whole thing, people don't think about, you know, the intricacies of some of this shit. Pardon, this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You turned around and you said we're going to make the minimum wage higher. Well, look at the compliance issues that a small businessman. It's not just saying, well, instead of paying you, you know, A, I got to pay you B. Well, then I've got to calculate your insurance. I got to calculate your benefits. I got to calculate your taxes. I got to calculate the impact on my business for the week, the month, mm-hmm. the quarter, mm-hmm. year. I got to calculate all this stuff. I got to calculate what it's going to cost next year when I got to bring it up from B to C.
Right.
The burden. The onerous burden on a small business person.
That's right.
And those small business persons, by the way, are the people that the Occupy people would like you to consider the quote-unquote 1%.
Mm-hmm. I know. Oh, my God.
Because if you make over $250,000, well, I've owned a small business. So has you. You know, I mean, you know, we've been involved with them in the past. When you own a small business, you don't pay your taxes on a 1040 the same way as everybody else does.
That's true.
Your business is part of you. You are part of your business. It all goes in on one return. So your return may say $250,000 in $1, but you may be living hand to mouth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
because
right.
you want your business, your baby, your nest egg. You want to see it succeed to grow. And so you're putting everything back in capital improvement and mm-hmm. in inventory and in stock and in employees and in insurance and all this other stuff. And you may be living hand to mouth. Oh, my God. You know, Johnny, please make this pair of sneakers last all year. You know,
because of the darn regulations. They can't even breathe.
But they're in the 1%. You know, let alone the Hollywood types.
That's
that are
right.
in the top 10th of a 10th.
Oh, my God. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So what do you think? You think... Donald Trump is off to a good start?
If he had done in the first 7 full days, or I guess I don't know how much he actually did on Sunday. I know he was at work Saturday. I hope he just took some time to go to church and chill on Sunday. But if you just take the first 7 days, if he had done, I was going to say half, but I'll say this. I'll say if he had done 1/3 of what he has done so far this week, I'd have been over the moon.
Yeah. That's the way
I'm promised gonna... America. He promised America, you, me, everyone listen to us, and everyone from either side of the aisle, people who listen to us because they agree with us and love us, or people who hate us and say just want to send us hate mail.
Mm-hmm.
He has done more in the first 7 days. I am so glad that
I'm over the moon. Actually,
yeah, moon is a perfectly good way to put it.
Yeah.
My wife is in the other room saying, "Waking up excited for another new day."
That's true. That is
now,
true.
When's the last time you could say that?
No, I cannot remember. Seriously,
when's the last time you said, I'm excited to wake up for a new day as an American? I mean, granted, I say that every day anyway, but I mean, like, to that level, to carry it off to that level, turn it up to 11, so to speak, Spinal Tap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot elucidate the way I feel about what he's done so far. Now, look, if he goes one full year and gets to next year's State of the Union message and says, you know, does a Richard Nixon, effective immediately, day after tomorrow, I resign. You know, and let Mike Pence take over.
That's not going to happen.
No, I know it's not going to happen. But if he did, not because of any, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors, just saying, hey, you know what? It was real. It was fun. I had a nice time.
I don't think he's not going to do that.
No, I know that. But if he did...
Yeah, okay.
I would still be happy with everything he gave us in the first week, let alone the first month.
Mm-hmm.
The first quarter, the first, you know...
Right.
The Dow hit 20.
I know.
20, the peso 000. Was reduced. The yen was reduced.
And
the dollar went up.
Yeah. So far,
Reichsmark.
Reichsmark.
The mark, the Deutsche Mark, is you know, the pound sterling is waiting for the end of the day, which I know is different for them than it is for us. Oh, maybe I should have got those numbers already because Theresa May was here today.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not exactly thrilled with Theresa May.
Oh, I'm not either. But boy, I bet you told her where it goes in the woods.
She's talking out of both sides of her mouth. She really is. Because in the past, she has said that, she believes in Islam as a peaceful religion and we have to help these people. And then all of a sudden, she's going to have to take care of Brexit? I don't think so. Although, we don't?
No, we don't agree that Islam is a peaceful religion.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead about the Brexit thing, because that's an important hit.
No, because I don't know if she really wants to carry it out. I really don't.
I think she breathed a sigh of relief when the court came down and said, you know, you've got to have Parliament involved in this. I think she was like, whew.
They
took it off her shoulders and put it on them.
But they went to court in order to stop it.
Right.
And they said, no. What it bothers me, it's sort of like reminds me of the Ninth Circuit Court here and the other court that shot down every single thing that the California
Circuit.
People in California had voted.
Yeah, that's the Ninth Circuit.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, and it's like, I can't believe this, you know. So is this going to be another thing where they're going to lose?
No.
Brexit
no,
is
no,
actually going to lose people
I
who voted because, that way?
I think because
I
it... Just knowing what our media is like, I don't believe for a second that the leave versus remain vote was as close as they'd like you to think. I think the leave vote was significantly stronger, and I think okay, fine, if you consider the rest of the realm, mm-hmm. Or actually not the realm, the UK itself, you know, consider both halves of Ireland, consider Scotland, consider Wales, Cornwall, you know, the Orkney, the Channel Islands. I mean, you know, you add all that in. Okay, fine. But I still don't believe that the vote was that close. Second of all, because of the things that have already started to change because of Brexit having been voted, you know, by plebiscite, I think the things that we've already started to see people, you know, with hope, with aspiration now. To put England back in trade relationships with the rest of the world, including us, you know. I think that with all the things that have already started to change, I think that if they turned around and the Parliament decided, well, you know what, we don't think so. We didn't think it was a good idea, so we're just going to not go forward with the Brexit. I'm not going to say you're going to see rioting in the streets because the British are not like that.
No, they're not. Oh, but, the Muslims are, but no, not
but I'm telling you why it matters, and it's not just England.
Mm-hmm.
It's Italy, it's Portugal, it's mm-hmm. Spain, it's France, it's, you know, Luxembourg, it's Greece, mm-hmm. it's, you know, I mean, these places are depending on Brexit, you know, to make their own adjustments in the European Union.
Yeah.
The ones that are takers in the EU want to see it go, you know, being nullified. And the people right. that are givers in the European Union are tired of it and they want to see it ratified.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see, you know, who's going to gain from this?
Who?
Israel. Because they'll gain so many more wonderful people. Because nobody's going to want to live in any of the rest of the European Union, and they're all going to turn
That's
around and
true.
Say, fine, you know, I remember, you know, history lessons about Spain beating back the Moors, mm-hmm. you know, El Cid and all that other stuff, mm-hmm. you know, You know, and they're going to say, well, you know what, if you want all those, you know, you want the Alhambra or whatever it's called in the middle of London town.
Alhambra, yeah.
You know, you want, and oh, by the way, I was there once. And
Alhambra, really?
Yeah. And oh, I
it is beautiful, though. I have seen pictures.
It's beautiful, but I was like, yeah, I've been to Hagia Sophia. And,
yeah.
Is beautiful, no two ways about it, but it's a mosque, you know, all right.
It's now it's a mosque. It wasn't before.
No, it wasn't, but it had been already by the time I got there. I'm not that
right,
old.
Right, obviously, you know? But yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I've been to these places, and it's nice, but, you know, it's nothing to model the rest of Europe after.
No, not at all.
You know, because I come from a generation where, you know, where the wall still stood in Europe, you know, the drills and stuff that took place. I remember, you know, new guys coming and going, you know, through school and everything where I was cadre. And some of them had been to Germany and some of them had been to Korea. And so, you know, back and forth and forth and back. Some guys were going to Germany or Korea. And, it, you know, back in the days of the Cold War, you know, there was a lot of stress and angst and dystopia, you know, and stuff that was just the order of doing business.
Right.
Well, you know what? We're begging for that to happen again if we're not going to be as strong. And I think, Madame May might leave D.C. with a little bit better
understanding,
a little bit better courage. No, not understanding. Maybe. I'm sure she understands.
I don't know. We'll see. Well, I want to see what her comments are once she gets back to Britain, and once this process starts getting underway and you have people, you know, trying to convince their MPs, you know, to vote for Brexit, I want to see how she tries to sway the vote.
I'm not saying we're in the minority believing that Islam is a death cult.
No, we're not. And as far but as other
when
people
when it comes
I know,
to places like Europe,
they already said that Britain, I was reading a column by an expert on Islamic affairs, and they said that Britain, it's well on its way to becoming an Islamic country. They
well, that's
said,
the point. That's everybody the over there wants to play nice. It's like, oh, it's a peaceful religion.
It's bullshit. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, but that's it. It's a peaceful religion. Yes, there are bad people, but there are bad people in everybody. You know, and Europe is like that, though. It always has been.
I mean, yeah, that's why we had to. Yeah, how many wars did we have to
right.
save their
that's
bacon?
That's why we
basically?
Had, you know, the Kaisers and Hitler and Mussolini and the Tsars and Stalin and everybody else. You know, they're a little bit more slow on the uptake.
It's like, you know, I know.
You know, by the way, today being Holocaust Remembrance Day.
That's right, it is.
You know, never forget, never again.
Never again.
Huh. I must say that.
Today
you know,
is also another anniversary, actually, of the when Apollo 1 went on fire and three astronauts, Grissom, Wright, and Chaffee, were killed.
Yes, and I saw an interesting thing. It was the letter that had been pre-prepared at the White House in case Apollo 11 didn't make it.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it's finally been FOIA'd.
Really? I didn't know that it happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, they did make it, thank goodness, you know.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah, but it was, you know, they, you know, as a contingency, they had it ready, you know.
They had to
have it ready. You know, I'm sure that, I mean, I remember, you know, President Reagan, you know.
Yep.
After the Challenger disaster,
oh,
I remember.
Man.
You know, and I'm sure that he didn't have to write that, you know, on his way out of the, you know, the residency part of the White House over to the Oval Office. He didn't scratch it on a napkin or something. I'm sure it was ready.
That was horrible.
You know, it was released recently. You know, we live in a turbulent time.
But I see light at the end of it. I see some light at the end of the tunnel.
That's
now.
It. We live in a turbulent time, but you know something? We've faced much worse. We have faced
for
much worse.
America. I'm
yes.
not saying Europe is included in that.
No. But, you know, but we've lived through, You know, I mean, we went through the First War, the Second War. We went through Korea. We went through Vietnam. We went through the Cold War. You know, we went through the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Bay of Pigs invasion.
I know.
Yeah, you know, we went through all of these things. And yet, you know, then we went through such things more recently, you know, 9/11. You know, we live in a turbulent time. And as the president said yesterday, day before yesterday, when he was being interviewed, the world is on fire.
Yeah, it is.
The world is on fire. But at least right now in the United States, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, things are starting to calm down. Hey, just one more thing before we sign off. A Hollywood icon has passed. Mary Tyler Moore.
Turned the world on with her smile.
Yeah. Not only that, but don't forget, she was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, and she was 19 years old when she started playing
Rob.
Oh, Rob.
I got to tell you, and don't forget.
I loved her. She was an amazing, amazing actress.
Don't forget what a woman's icon she was, because she was the first starring woman and starring in a TV show to wear capri pants.
Really?
Well, yes.
She did that. Well, she did that on Dick Van Dyke.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
she
was something else. She was amazing.
She was an absolutely everybody in the whole high. I don't think they were being pushed for this at all. I believe that every single person I've heard interviewed since has had nothing but the absolute nothing, highest regard, highest esteem. When they say that she turned the world on with a smile, they were not kidding.
Except Ed Asner.
Well, yeah.
Ed, and you know why?
You
know why?
No.
They were diametrically opposed.
Yes, but he, even when he was interviewed after the fact, or not after the fact, but he did an interview saying she was all that in a bag of chips and then some. But, well, of course, that might be because she was gone and he didn't want to speak ill of it then. But,
right.
But they again,
they didn't talk. They didn't talk.
But I mean, you know, I go back, and this is going to sound terrible, you know, because the woman's gone now. I remember I did not watch Ordinary People.
No, I didn't either. And you know why?
No.
Because it, to me, would, because I knew the plot and I knew the type of mother she played. And that was just completely opposite to what I had connected Mary Tyler Moore to, as far as what sort of, roles she had played in the past. And that's how I grew up with her. So Ordinary People, nope, I didn't watch
it. I did not watch the movie, but it was on, I don't know, HBO or Showtime or something in the 80s, you know, whatever. And people were watching it, and I was passing through from one job to another. I guess my wife at the time and her friends and stuff were watching it. And I got to tell you, I stopped short in the middle of the room because it was a scene. She was in her yoga class outfit, or I don't know if it was yoga class or spinning class or dance class or dancer size or whatever it was called back then. And I guess Donald Sutherland walked in on her. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you something. Instantaneously, I flushed. She was that hot.
Oh, yeah. She's a beautiful woman. She was. She was always in great shape. And she had type 1 diabetes, too. So,
yes, she fought down diabetes. Yes, she did. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she was just an absolute inspiration. You know, and we're running out of them.
Yes, we are.
We are. We're running out of them. I mean, we've got Marlo, Mary, and very few others that aren't, you know, Meryl Streep.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. You're right. You're right.
So, you know... All right, let's cover a
so
couple
of... So rest in peace, Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes, rest in
Moore.
Peace,
you brought
Mary.
A lot
rest
of people, a lot of laughs and happiness, and just made us feel
this
good.
This time when you threw your hat in the air, God caught it, and he...
That's true. And he helped
you
up.
With it.
Yep. So what, you have a joke?
No, I don't have a joke. I want to cover some strategic stuff.
Okay, strategic? What's strategic?
Those of you who follow us, you may notice that our website is undergoing a few changes.
Yes, so you might not be able to access it right away.
We're moving stuff around. Mm-hmm. We are still working on that software I've been promising for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
don't forget, you know, whether it's iTunes, whether it's RSS feed, whether it's Blueberry, whether it's, you know, WordPress, whatever you want to follow us on, you can find us Twitter. You can find me on Facebook, and I will shill this every time we get a new one put out. Kadias, Binds, Discuss, you know, VidMe, Dailymotion, Instagram, I don't know, name a few more, you know, I don't know, I don't know, if we keep going the way we're going, WikiLeaks is going to put us out there, so so that said, do I have a joke? Yes, I do, but unfortunately, it's just not the right. After discussing Mary Tyler Moore, it's just not the right time.
Okay, then we shall forego the joke for this week.
And we will be bringing them back as a regular feature.
Yes, 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 yes. But, you know, folks, I really think that there's some light there. I'm going to paraphrase this, but when I was married, the priest that married my husband and myself, we were married in the Episcopal Church. He always used to wake up his children with the with a saying from the Bible. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I'm paraphrasing a bit because it actually is more exact. You know, I'm kind of doing that now. Even more. And I'm hopeful for America's future. I really am. And
I'm more than hopeful.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for people with a backbone now. So I really think things are going to be start improving in this country even more.
I'm more than hopeful. I'm actually expectant.
Yes.
Over, you know.
Yes,
and I
think that things are going to start improving at a much faster rate than we thought. Now there's going to be a lot of pushback. But I think the people who are in charge, backed by the American people who support them, I think we'll be able to surmount all this stuff. And, you know, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, and there are rhinos out there that, you know, are already...
Well, Mitch McConnell is worried that it's cost 20% more per corona.
Wait a minute. You know, I almost forgot about this. Somebody tweeted, and I'm pretty sure it's right, because I went back to an article in which Lindsey Graham had said something about...
it was Lindsey Graham. I'm sorry. Apologize to Mitch McConnell.
What does make America great or something? Or I don't see how America's exceptional or special, or I don't understand what they mean by that. And it's like, excuse me? You don't understand? What do you mean?
What
do you mean?
I think the rhinos are almost undeserving of another of our segments, I think, all by themselves. But the one that got me was when Lindsey Graham said anything that makes Corona or tequila or margaritas cost more does not make America great again.
Did he really say that?
Yes, he wasn't hacked. I vetted it out. He said that.
Is he losing it? Because he said that, and then he said the thing about...
I don't know. Three things in a row.
Great.
Yeah, things in a row, and they were Corona, tequila, and margaritas. So you do the math.
Yeah. It's time for him to leave also. Okay, folks, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back again, and hopefully you will be there to listen. But thank you so much for your time. And if you have any questions
so
or comments,
glad we had
please,
this time.
Please, you know, feel free to comment. And we'll be back with you next week, okay? Anything else,
yes.
Lou?
Anything else?
Come on, Lou.
Well, here... At the end of the first full week of Donald Trump's America, which actually translates that, if for you liberals, I'll explain it to you, means our America. May God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.